Welcome to Bethel Assembly in Anson, Texas this morning. Man, we're so glad you're here, and we're glad to be here with you. Hope that you noticed. How many know the Lord's just always moving and doing stuff? Can I hear a good amen? And we're in the middle of this series we've been talking about, Exceed. Everybody shout Exceed. How God just exceeds everything that we ever imagined or we ever believed. And I'll just tell you, like, God has exceeded by giving us this campus over here and this new building over here. And so I hope that you noticed when you came in this morning, the expansion is poured and the wall's going down soon, and we're going to add a couple of hundred seats to the back there. So praise the Lord. Our friends, Mark and Stacy Chapman, who are our general contractors, are here. So put your hands together and give them some love, man. We're so thankful for them and thankful for what God is doing here at Bethel Assembly. And so we're in week three, like I said, of our series, Exceed. The very definition of that word exceed means this: to go beyond the bounds or limits, to go above and to go beyond, to surpass or to excel. And as I look at my life, God has surpassed and excelled everything that I ever dreamt of. That's what God does. That's what God is. He's a supernatural God. He doesn't do the natural. He doesn't do the normal. He just goes above and beyond. And so it's what God does. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." That's what God does. God does exceeding. But you know what? As sons and daughters of God, you and I have a role to play in the exceeding plans that God has for our life. The role that you and I have, what do you say, Cody, what is my role? What do I need to do in order to experience the great and exceeding blessings of God? Here's the answer. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32 through 33. Moses told the people, "You must be careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God. Follow his instructions in every detail. Stay on the path that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow. Then you will live long and prosperous lives in the land that you're about to enter and occupy." So if we're obedient, if we stay on the path, not be perfect, not always be right, but if we stumble, get back up and stay on the path, if we follow the commandments of God, God will do exceeding things. How many of you are excited about what God can do in your life? Shout amen. Amen. So we just love what God has done here in my life. I shared with you a couple of weeks ago what he'd done in my life. I shared with you what he's done in the life of Bethel. Last week, we sat down with our executive pastor, Stephen Cunningham. Didn't he do a great job? Can you put your hands together for him? And I want to continue with this theme of exceeding. I want you to see our staff here. I want you to know our staff. How many of you know teamwork is what makes the dream work? This church is not about Cody. This church is about the team that God has assembled and brought here together, and everybody has a role to play. Speaking of our staff, just let me interject this in here. Miss Gigi's birthday is today. So, yeah, happy birthday, Gigi. So today I'm going to sit down with your associate pastor, Cole Hatfield. Cole is the little buzzsaw. Cole is the little wild man. Cole is the guy that talks faster than I do. He's our associate pastor. I love him, and I know that you love him. So let's put our hands together and welcome Cole to the stage today as he comes. Let me get my timer out, because my timer is always important when Cole is involved.
Good morning.
Yeah. Oh, man. And so one of the reasons that we're doing this, that sit down, is because I want you to know who your leaders are. I want you to know your staff. I want you to know them beyond the stage. Because I think Cole and I would agree, when you get up here to preach on Sunday morning to 800 people, there is a pressure that no one really understands. You got to preach, and you got to preach, and you got to know what you're preaching, and it's got to be on point to move people. But beyond the stage, Cole is a great man. Cole is a man who has a story that is unbelievable. It shows the exceeding greatness of God, just like Stephen last week. And so I want you guys to see and hear him beyond the stage, not the guy that goes 100 miles an hour. Come on, somebody. I want you to know the Cole that I know, the Cole that I sit down with and have conversations with on a daily basis. And so let's pray and then we'll start. Because Cole, can I just tell you this? Can we be real second service?
Can we stand up on this one?
No, you can stand up if you want to. Cole, you won't believe this, is OCD and ADHD. And Cole is a perfectionist. And I want Cole to know, I want you to know, Cole, you can't mess this up today because people are going to see your heart. And I want them to see who you are. And so I want us to pray, and I want God to speak to you, and I want God to settle his nerves, and I want God to anoint him so that he can just share and you can see him in a different light. So if you would, let's bow our heads and let's pray, and then we'll start. Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you for this place. This place is not perfect, but it's the place that you have chosen to bring each one of us to, Lord. And we thank you for this place. We're better because of the blood of Jesus, and we're better because of our church community, Lord. So I pray today for your anointing to be upon this service. I pray for you to anoint Cole. I pray, God, that people's ears and hearts would be open to what your Holy Spirit would have to say. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. So first of all, Cole, we love you. Thankful for you, very proud of you and Marley and your family and what God's doing in your life. And so let's just start out this way. Say hello to everybody, introduce your family, and just say hello to everybody today.
Hello, everybody. I'm Cole Hatfield, my wife. Stand up, Marley. It's my beautiful wife, Marley.
Yeah.
Been married 10 years, and we have a 6-year-old son named Hayes and a 2-year-old son named Holden, and we're glad to have both of them, and glad and a miracle that we have each other.
So you want to introduce your mom and dad?
And then my mom and dad are sitting down here. Y'all stand up. They're a little old, but they're pretty good looking too.
Yeah.
Kind of like their son.
I have to help Reggie stand up just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, we love Cole. Cole, just for fun, tell us something about you that maybe no one here knows anything about.
It's a stupid question. I have a 4-year associate's degree. I ain't lying.
Yeah. In case you don't know, an associate's degree is a 2-year degree. Cole got his in 4 years. And so tell us a little bit about when you first came to Bethel. We're talking a little bit about Bethel and the importance of church and all that. Tell us about your first impression of Bethel. And tell us about the first time you ever came to Bethel.
Well, we moved back from Stephenville and went back to Guthrie. And my parents brought us over here a couple of times a month sometimes. And we were in the old building. I was about 13 years old in the 6th grade. And I just remember good worship.
Why y'all got to brag on Connor all the time? Why don't you care about good preaching?
I remember a really ugly old preacher. No, I just remember every time I came, you know, I didn't really know. I got saved when I was 7 at Glen Rose at a church that was a little bit wild, a little bit Holy Spirit filled. I remember people running around the room. Sometimes I want to run around the room when Connor's singing. But anyway, I just remember vividly what that church looked like. I remember when I was 7 when I got saved, and I remember that day and got out there in the pine needles and in a water trough and got baptized and believed in Christ and that he came and died and was going to, and rose again and going to come back. And I just remember that, and so I would come over here, and I would get those same feelings, the Holy Spirit here, and everything that Cody preached about, as y'all know, is relatable and relatable to life that we're living right now, and I don't know, I just remember coming over here and always knowing that church was a little bit different here and could feel something, just didn't really know what was going on, and I remember the old altar calls, the old wood things on at the end with the tile in the middle. I just remember all of those things, and it was just a draw to come here.
Yeah, well, that's cool. And so we're glad that your mom and dad brought you. Talk to us a little bit about how you grew up. Like, talk to us about where you grew up, about what life was like when you were a child. When you remember after 7, you get saved. You're at Guthrie. You're working. Your dad's working for the 4-6s. Tell us a little bit about growing up.
Yeah, so my dad lived at the North Camp at the 4-6s. That's where I was born. Not like in a dugout in the dirt or nothing. I was born in a hospital. But we lived at the North Camp, and let's see, we moved to Glen Rose and Stephenville there for a few years, left the ranch, and then they called my dad back to come back and run the wagon. And so we moved back. I was in sixth grade, and that's when we started. We would go to church there, the Baptist church at Guthrie. And
he's a Reformed Baptist, just so you know.
We would go there some, and then we would come over here some on and off. So, yeah, that's what church looked like. And my mom always, I told y'all, you know, during the prayer series and showed y'all her spirals and all the things. She always has a prayer journal. She always stout in the Lord. And my dad would always pray for our meals, pray over us, pray with us, all the things. And but no, he knows this. This song hurts feelings. But my mom, like, really laid the foundation of the Lord inside of me at a young age, thank God, because the word says you train a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will not depart from it. And I did some departing for a while, but I come back. So now I think it was for what mom did. So
yeah, cool. So you were born when your dad lived at the sixes, then you moved a little bit, and then you came back. So you came back, you were raised, your mother and your dad both kind of taught you about the Christian foundation. And so then you get up kind of grown. You live this lifestyle on the ranch. You get to hunt, ride good horses, all those things. And then you get to the place in life where you make your own decisions, where you leave home, where you go. So tell us what happened a little bit when you left home, when you left that place of comfort.
Yeah, so when I was young, sixth grade to when I graduated when I was 17, you know, probably a little bit. I graduated a year early, probably should have stayed there and matured a little bit more before I left Guthrie, but I had everything at my fingertips there. Like you said, I got to ride good horses. I was around good cowboys. Anything I wanted, my dad made sure that I had, and anything that I wanted to excel in, I'm just kind of geared that way to really go after hard of whatever I decide I'm going to do. So I had it all I needed right there. Well, then I things changed in my life. I wanted to be a bronc rider. So in high school, I think a sophomore or junior, I started putting my whole focus on riding saddle broncs, and when I decide to do something, I go all in. So my life was live, breathe saddle bronc riding, and I got a scholarship to go college rodeo, and I couldn't wait to get out of Guthrie to go ride broncs and go be this superstar and all these things. And when I got out of Little Guthrie, Texas, I started learning about a whole lot of things that weren't in Little Guthrie, Texas. And man, the people that I hung around weren't bad people, but I was, like I say, Cody says this all the time about me and about everybody, but sometimes our best feature is also our worst feature, and we need to pay attention to that. And for me is my all-in mentality. So I'll go all-in for the Lord like I am now, thank God, but in my old life, I went all-in to be as wild as I could be too. So I just, you know, I tried everything. I tried the girls. I tried all the alcohol, tried all the drugs, did all the things you could think of, and it was just a wild little turd for a few years. And then Marley.
Yeah, absolutely. So you go wild, you go nuts, you do this deal, you go in the far country, and then you meet this cute, pretty little, sassy little young lady. Tell us about when you met her. You're living this life, maybe contrary to the word of God. Yeah. You're in the far country, and you meet Marley.
So Stephen talked about this the other day. I thought it was pretty cool, but you know, if you have a foundation in Christ, your parents raise your kids up in the Lord. Like, no matter what was going on in my life, I remember those times when I would stay out all night or do something I shouldn't be doing. I would wake up, and I would always tell the Lord, like, I'm so sorry, Lord, I won't ever do that again, you know. And that was conviction, you know. It was heavy on me, and it wore me out. And I would get to these places where I just convicted, and I showed y'all that CD that I got before all this awesome social media that we have. Cody, the church would give out these CDs, and Caleb Rice gave me this CD one time, and it's titled, the sermon was The Power and Potential of a Regular Man. Well, every time that I would get convicted and every time that I would get tired of living the way that I was living in college or before Marley or whatever, I'd get that CD out with just me in that car, and I would feel things and like the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And the Lord never told me like you're going to preach one day or nothing like that. I just knew that there was more that the Lord had planned. And so the conviction wore me out. I got out of where I was, got away from the people I was around, and thank God, God always works and works things for our good. And a rodeo coach called me and said, hey, if you'll come finish school, I'll give you a full ride to ride Bronx for us. So thank God it got me out of the old ranch life, got me out of where I was, and I went to Hillsboro, started riding Bronx again, started rodeoing with a little better head, and not much better, a little better. And one of our best friends was my roommate in college for my very first time to go to school. We were basically twins from another mom, and he got killed in a car wreck. But before he got killed, he introduced me to Marley, and And it just, that was the first time, you know, I told you I had everything at my fingertips. I had all that I needed, and I had the willpower to go be as good as I wanted to be at anything I wanted to do. But that was the first time where the Lord was like, hey, look, life is real, life is short. And we lost our friend there, and I just, I was 19 or 20 years old probably. And I was like, I'm getting married, life is short. And we weren't ready to get married, and we got engaged, got married when we were 21, I think, 22, 23, my bad, somewhere in there. And we were young and just didn't know. Both of us knew the Lord, and both of us believed in Christ and all the things. And like I said, I'd gotten saved when I was little and all this stuff, but we weren't ready, and we didn't know what Ephesians 5 talks about when Paul's talking about leading your wife and talking about your wife submitting to her husband and treating it the way the Lord, our relationship with the Lord should be like our marriage, right? And so we didn't know all those things, and it just created a rough start to a marriage.
Yeah, cool. So I think a couple of things we can focus on there is, parents, never underestimate your teaching your children to follow the commandments of God. Because just like he said, the scripture says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll always come back to that. So I think it's so important that we recognize today that your parents raised you correctly. You chose to go be a nut, but in the middle of you being a nut, you always had the conviction and you knew that God was calling you back. And so then your friend comes along and your friend gets killed and your friend dies. You have this moment where you go, wow, life is so short. Y'all jump into this thing and y'all get married. So y'all get married at a young age and you don't know it all completely. And so tell us about the marriage that you guys had before you came to Bethel. Before we've heard your story of how your marriage has been redeemed and all that. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But tell us about the first few years of marriage, what a struggle that was.
Yeah, so the first year, I never really even saw her. I got it at the college that I got my four-year associates from. The coach there was a great guy, and he's like, hey, I want you to stay here and be my assistant rodeo coach. And I was like, heck yeah. So get on practice Bronx all week, and then I was gone. I rodeoed that hard. Our first year that we got married is the hardest I'd ever rodeoed, and I'd only made enough money not to come home. And that didn't go very good for a first year of marriage. And so I remember rolling up my saddle at Manhattan, Kansas, and after I'd got my butt bucked off, and the Lord was like, you need to go home. And I didn't know. When I heard that, I was thinking, you know, kind of like Guthrie or whatever, but just basically looking back, he was just like, this ain't what I'm called you to do, and you chose to get married and you go home and tend to that. So I went home and quit riding Bronx, and we got ranch job after ranch job, and we were just trying to figure out how to make enough money, how to get ahead, how to be this guy, how to be this girl. Basically, she was living her life, I was living my life. Basically, we were glorified roommates trying to make a little money, I was just bouncing around to these different ranches and just the things that you do when you're young and get your mind on. And there was times in our marriage too, before the big blow up, that we were real close to God and then we would be real far from God, and all these ups and downs, and just like all of us get, you know, and hopefully one day each and every one of us stops being this way. But we were just lukewarm basically and didn't really want to surrender one way or the other. And so where were we?
No, I think it's great. So you get married. Marriage is ups and downs. It's two people learning to live together. You got different jobs. You move all these places. You're still not serving the Lord. So you guys wind up back at Wagner Ranch, where your old pawpaw, Wes O'Neill, worked for years. You're at Wagner Ranch. And I think we've all heard Cole's story that at that point in your life and in your marriage was absolutely on the rocks. It was this point where marriage is either we're going to stick it out, or we're going to split the sheets and go the other way. And so tell us now, you guys, you were raised good, went wild, got married, and now your marriage is absolutely on the rocks. What is it that motivated you guys? What is it that saved your marriage when you were living at Wagner Ranch?
What saved our marriage is just me wholeheartedly surrendering to Jesus. I mean, everything. And, my pride and what I wanted to do and all the things, and I just had an encounter with Christ, and, you know, I just told him in that pickup in that pasture, I was like, I'm done trying to do whatever I'm trying to do for me. If you fix this marriage, I'll do, you know, I'm going all in for real. And I just think that I'd told the Lord that many, many times, and I think it took a long time. You know, it took a year of me waking up, renewing my mind like Romans talks about, and it took a long time, and every morning I would get up and read my word, and I would study, and I would ask God to let the word come alive to me, and I'd pray for my wife, and I'd pray for our family, and I never did see any changes coming along. I never did see anything happening, and I got to a place sometime, and they were like, the Lord ain't listening, Lord ain't working. Everybody says this is what we're supposed to do, but I just kept renewing my mind, and I think God was looking down just like, hey, look, you've told me this 100 times, buddy. I'm going to see if you're going to stick it out. And then I stuck it out. And, you know, you would think that at the end of surrender for a year and the end of all of that stuff going so far away from the old guy you used to be, you would think that the Lord would just work an awesome miracle in your life. But really, that's when the big blew-up happened and I had my encounter and I had to choose again. Am I going to go worldly or am I going to renew my mind? Am I going to listen to the Holy Spirit that I believe I heard in, and I'm going to go all in for Christ and keep doing what I've been doing, and I'm going to see the work that he's going to do in my life and in Marley's life, or am I going to divorce her and go on like the world has so easily does now? So I had my encounter, Marley had her encounter, and then, man, it's been fun since.
Cool. So I think it's cool to know that Cole has an encounter with Christ. And for a year, he's praying and seeking God. He's going all in. But things still aren't working the way you want them to work. And so I think that's encouraging to everybody, because just because we finally decide to say yes to the Lord doesn't mean that things are going to fall into place just like that. Sometimes we have to stick it out and we have to continue to surrender and do the things that are uncomfortable. And so he does that, and he's praying and reading the word. And then Marley has this encounter with Christ, and they both decide, living at Wagner Ranch, hey, we're going to go all in for the Lord. So when you decide to go all in for the Lord, tell us a couple of things that helped you guys to be able to be successful in going all in for the Lord, such as, I'll lead you into this, your circle that you were around, the people that you hang around with, because the people that you hang around with and the influence that you have in your life is so very important. And also, let's talk about church, about the influence and the power that church brings to that.
Yeah. So,
Brad,
your circle. Yeah, so I went to work back to Wagner's, thank the Lord, and Brad Good was running the wagon there, and he was my boss. I was working with him every day out of headquarters. We were waiting on, they had bought a ranch that we were going to move to, but it wasn't final. And so every day I'm just rubbing shoulders with this guy who's gave his life up for the Lord and also who had an encounter with the Lord. And it was just, you know, we were just doing what we all do, whatever your life looks like, whatever you're getting to do. We were getting to punch cows and have fun and ride horses and ride broncs and do all those things. But he was showing me that we could, you know, you could do that and love the Lord and help each other. And the word says confide in somebody and get some help. So he was helping me and we were praying. And even then it looked horrible. Like it looked bad. I didn't think it was all going to work out. But anyways, just kept going. And then there were some other guys, Clint Sissom, and some guys that were having some men's meetings. And I just started going to those men's meetings. You talk about uncomfortable. I didn't like going to them. I didn't like being around all these, some bucks hugging me, get what up, all this stuff. Like I didn't like that crap. And so, but I just kept going. And you just got to keep going. And I just say, you know, like, you don't ever know what it's going to look like, but if you read your dang Bible, you know it's going to work out for the good, Romans 8:28. So I think most of you need to go home and ask yourself, I wonder what I've missed, or I wonder what I'm missing because I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit. And I just constantly renewed my mind saying, I'm going to believe that I heard this, and I'm going to believe, and I'm going to walk it out. And just like he talks about in Deuteronomy, I'm going to keep going. And so when that happened, let's see, so... Dang, these stupid questions.
So, it's great. It's great. So you're with Brad. Like, Brad's an influence. Brad's a guy that's a cowboy, that's the cowboy boss at the Wagner Ranch, and he's leading you not only in ranch work, but he's leading you in the Lord. He's being an example to you. So there again, it's important who you hang around with. And on the other side of that, it's important the influence that you have on other people. And so Brad may be in a cowboy world where it's not really cool to talk about the Lord. He's sharing the Lord with you. So you, that's growing you. And then talk about the importance of church. So then you guys are living at Wagner Ranch. Tell us about church and how far it is to church. And
so that year where I surrendered, that year where I was going all in, Marley wasn't. The better I got, the worse she got, actually, that year. But I just told myself, you know, we'd always said to, we watched Bethel Online at the ranches that we worked at when we were doing good. And we always said, if we ever live within an hour of Bethel, we're going to go to church there. Well, hour and 20 minutes is how far it was from our front gate to this church. And we decided, you know, I decided as the leader of my home, whether she wanted to or not, we're going to go to church. And we would go to church every Sunday and every Wednesday, and we'd make like burgers the night before, wrap them up in full, stick them up on the dash during service, and after we got brainwashed in here by Cody for 30, 40 minutes, we'd go out there to a soft bun and a warm meal and drive home. And I just started sacrificing things. And you know, she was fighting the things that were going on in her life and all those things, and she didn't want to come. But I tried really hard to not drive it into her, instill it into her, make like, by God, we're going. Because I was kind of feeling the fruits. I was kind of seeing how God was working and just trusting too. Like, she wasn't making no changes really. And I was like, man, Lord, what are we doing? And so time rocks along, and I decided we're going to keep going. That's what we need to do, and we're going to keep going. And then we had our encounters, and we kept driving here. How long did we drive for an hour and 20 one way? A couple years? 2 years or something like that? And it sucked, and it made some sacrifice, though. But we commit to so many things. I talked about this at Guthrie. God, we commit to everything. We commit for the title. We commit for the money. We commit to prove somebody wrong. We commit, commit, commit. But when it comes to our walk with Christ, and it comes with what God told us to do and living out the promises of God, we don't commit. And that was me forever. I'd commit to everything, but the Lord, and this time I told myself, we're going to commit to the Lord. And our encounter with God, and when we came back together that night after all of this crap, was such a miraculous thing. I'm telling y'all, because we were jacked up, messed up, and our home was a wreck, and it was just roommates, and it was just tiptoeing, and it was just eggshells, and it just sucked. And we had this little boy in the middle of it. And so when our life got changed, I'm telling you, God made a new person in Marley, and the Lord made a new person in me. But now we're having to keep renewing our minds and stay committed.
Yeah, so awesome. So church was so, so important. So you guys, the Lord redeems all of this stuff, brings you guys back together. You got Hayes, and then along comes Holden. Marty gets pregnant again. You got two little blessings now, and you're coming to church. And so I see, because of our relationship, the call of God on your life. And so I'll just say this. Leaders and pastors don't call people to be in the ministry, but they recognize the call of God on people's life. And so here comes little Cole, this little buzzsaw, little wild guy, and I see, like he said, he goes all in. And I'm like, dude, the Lord can use you, man. The Lord wants to use you. The Lord's calling you into ministry. And he's like, oh, no, and he starts running backwards like an old bronc. And so we get him over here, and so I finally say to Cole, hey, you guys are driving an hour and 20 minutes to church. The call of God is on your life. What do you think about moving down to Anson, Texas, and coming on staff at Bethel Assembly? And so then what happens when I say that to you?
I said, there ain't no way. We ain't got no money. And he said, oh, yeah, there ain't no way he can fix your jacked up heart. There ain't no way he can fix your jacked up marriage. Yeah, let's just give up and forget all about it. And I said, all right, sucker. So we started praying, and we prayed, Lord, if this is what you want to do, set it up. If this is what you want us to do, set it up. And we prayed, you know, and I'll just say, like, we, at that time at the camp, we just had one, the only payment we had was a car payment. Because on a ranch, they give you a house, they pay your bills, they give you beef, and a truck, trailer, and a string of horses. The only thing we had to pay was a car payment. We were comfortable. Marley was comfortable. Marley loves being comfortable. Cole, don't really care. I don't worry about it. Just roll and go with the flow. And so we were comfortable as heck, and then just thinking about moving over here was wild. And I just remember he said, let's pray about it. So we prayed. Jennifer and Cody began praying. Marley and I began praying. And then the enemy starts coming in our minds. He's like, you know what? We had Hayes at the time. He went with me every day. He rode with me every day. He loved being with the cowboys. He loved going riding horses. He loved going to catch slicks. He loved feeding the cows. He loved doing all the things that he got to do right there from the back door of his house to the ranch right there. And we were worried about taking him away from that and growing him up in that life. And what would it look like him living over here in Anson? Are we going to have to buy a house in town? Are we going to have to live in town? And we were worried about being able to pay for this and pay for that. And I was going to have to ride two-year-olds, and I hate riding two-year-olds all day, every day. And we were going to have to just, you know, all this stuff that we get worried about. We were worried about so many things. And finally, one day, you know, the Lord worked a miracle on the money side, and some things happened that came out of nowhere, and that was a cool blessing. And I remembered our prayer, and our prayer was, Lord, make a way. And there was a big way right there for the place that we got, and we got the place we wanted for a lot less than we wanted and all the things. And then all of the stuff I worried about our sons and about our about Hayes and everything, the Lord sent Wesley Jackson. And he, it's just a blessing, you know. everything that we were worried about, the Lord had set up here, but it took us getting in the car, packing the bags, believing and trusting in the Lord, and believing on the call of our life and what he told me in the barn and what he told Marley in the lodge for us to get over here to see that he really does do what he said he's going to do.
Yeah, it's so good. So it was some surrender. It was some give up some comfort. It was do something that I had never done before. And when you stepped out on faith, the Lord did exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we could ever ask or think and made a way for you guys to have a place and put Cole Hatfield on staff at a church to be an associate pastor. I mean, it's just been such a blessing. I know it's been a blessing to you and your family. It's been a blessing to us. And there again, we're proud to have you guys here. We wouldn't be where we are without you and you guys' investment in this place. And so thank you for that. And so I'll ask you this. How have you grown? How has your family grown since you said yes? Since you surrendered, since you came on staff here, How have you grown? How's your spiritual life grown and your family grown?
Well, we ain't got time for all those, but the things that stick out to me is just like, just trust in the Lord. The word says trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean on your own understanding. And it's just...
You need my handkerchief, buddy?
It's just cool to see. It's just cool to live out Scripture. It's cool to live out what the Holy Spirit spoke to us, and then he don't stop. You know, Cody preaches about that all the time. Like, yeah, that was a good time then, a year ago, but let's not hang on that good time then. Let's look on the times ahead. And the Lord don't ever stop, and he just has blessed us. But he's taught me to slow down since we've been over here. Cody's helped me a lot. My part-time ranch job has helped me a lot. Having a good boss over there, Wesley, that's helped me a lot. The leadership here at this church, him and Connor and everybody, like, just chill. Like, it's okay to chill, and I've kind of slowed down a little bit mentally and just trust that the Lord's going to work, and I just don't let my mind go to where it always used to go. Just got to go, and the enemy want to keep me busy, worry about this, worry about that, and just enjoy my marriage, enjoy my wife, enjoy my kids, and enjoy time with my small little circle. And that's another thing is I've learned, like, man, the smaller your circle, the better circle you're probably going to have. And we could go on and on.
That's cool. So would you guys do me a favor and help me remind him that he sat on this stage and said that he's going to slow down, and chill out just a little bit? Because there really is something to that.
One other thing I was going to say at the beginning, what y'all don't know about me, I love Cody the same amount as I hate Cody.
Oh, that's one thing I love about Cole. I'll say this, and then we'll start to wind this down. Conrad, you guys maybe come on up. Cole is the greatest yes, sir man I've ever had in my life. No matter what you want to do, if it has to do with the Lord, if it has to do with a staff meeting, a funeral, you can just text. We have a text message thread amongst the staff here and the leadership team here, and you can say, here's what we got to do, and Cole's the first one to say, yes, sir. And I think your entire life and your whole testimony and everything that we've talked about today is just someone that's willing to say, yes, sir. That's willing to say yes, sir, to the Lord and willing to surrender and lay down your own feelings, lay down your comfort, and just say yes to the Lord. Your story, yours and Marley's story, is a story of how God does exceedingly abundantly above and beyond. And what he requires from us is just surrender. Just surrender. Just stop with your pride. Stop with your image management. Just stop and say, Lord, whatever your will is, the same thing that Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. And if we'll just do that, you will be blown away at what God will do in your life. And so I want us to close with one last question, one last thing. What would you say, Cole, to these people, to the people of Bethel, the people that are listening, what would you say to someone that's struggling to find their true identity, maybe struggling to find their calling, maybe they're in the far country like you were? What would you say to them to encourage them to come back to the Lord and trust the Lord through it all?
I would just say, you're just going to have to make up in your mind that you're going to do it different, that you're going to be different than you've always been, and you're going to have to change your circle and pay attention to who you're hanging out with, and just do whatever it takes. Wake up and read your word. Get closer to the Lord. The only way we can get close to God is read the word. Spend time in your word. Get in your word. And to those, you know, Marley and I talk about this a lot. To you young kids in here, I look at this. I love this front row all the time down here. But if you're not married, or you're a young girl that wants to get married, or a young guy that wants to get married, God created marriage. And so you need to have a relationship with Christ before you have a relationship with somebody else, because we just got married and thought, if we get married, it's going to work. Well, that ain't how it works. And that's just a wide open gate for the enemy. So if you can just go into this fight, this marriage fight, with a relationship with God, and before you have a relationship with somebody else, you'll be miles and miles ahead.
Amen. Amen.
And also, man, thank you all so much for loving us, letting us come in. I remember the first time I spoke over here, it was 2 years ago yesterday, but I'm looking at that book right there. She said, I was watching online, and I text my mom. She was up there. I said, who is this guy? He sucks. I was scared. So anyway, thank y'all for letting me grow and giving me time to grow as a preacher and as a speaker. There's a whole lot more to it than just getting up here and opening your mouth. So thank y'all for loving my family and loving us and just doing all those things. And thank you for pouring into me and letting me be in your back pocket all the time. I know I'll probably drive him nuts, kind of like Elijah and Elisha, but I don't care. I'm going to get all the Cody I can get while I'm here.
Well, we love you, man. We appreciate all of you guys. Come on, put your hands together and give Cole some love. If you would stand on your feet and we'll close with I'm going to pray over you guys and then we're going to close with a little bit of worship. And so, Father, we just love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for just for life. We thank you for this place. Like we've already said, this place is not perfect, but this place is the place that you've ordered our steps to come and be here and enjoy Christian community and hear the word of God and be able to worship God, Lord. And so just pray today in the closing moments of this service that your spirit would speak to us. Lord, just like Cole testified, thank you for his courage and his boldness. Thank you for him and Marley's testimony. And so many of us can identify with what happened in his life and what you've done in their life. And so, Lord, I just pray today for those of us that are maybe in the far country and we're struggling just a little bit. Lord, I pray that your voice would continue to resonate, Lord, that you would never quit calling us back, that you would never, that we would our ears would never get deaf to what you would say, that we know that you love us and you're calling us back out of a life of the pig pen. You're calling us back to a life of repentance. And if we'll just come to you, Lord, and surrender. Thank you for a testimony of surrender. I don't know it all. I don't have it all figured out. I don't know which way to go, but I just know in this moment I'm going to surrender. And when I surrender, it's going to be an example to so many people around me, maybe my husband, maybe my wife, maybe my children. But in that moment of surrender, that's when you come. When we surrender it all, God, that's when you come. And when you come, God, that is when the exceeding greatness of a supernatural God begins to work in our lives. So I pray, God, that we wouldn't get weak in the waiting if we're surrendered and things aren't going our way, that we wouldn't give up and we wouldn't give in and we wouldn't quit. We would just continue a life of surrender and we would continue a life of saying, yes, sir, Lord, whatever you want me to do, whatever you call me to do, it may be uncomfortable. I may not like it. It may not feel good, but God, you are a God who sits high and looks low. And you, God, are a God that works everything out together for good to those that love you. And so, Lord, let us just love you. Let us just love you. Let us just love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. Not just with our words, but with our heart. Not just with our heart, but with our actions. Lord, and as we surrender to you and we begin to walk out that path, like Deuteronomy told us, we begin to follow the path that you've laid out for us. Lord, let the blessings of God begin to flow in our life. Thank you that our hope is in you. Lord, I pray for marriages in this room. I pray that men would wake up and become the spiritual leader of their homes. I pray that men that don't understand and don't know what to do would just start with a little bit, would start reading the Word of God, would start talking about God, would start leading their children. I pray that wives would begin to submit to their husbands and the spiritual leadership, and that wives would begin to pray over their husbands and their children. Lord, we just know you are an awesome and an exceeding God. And we don't want to just live in the blessings of this world or in the blessings of our name or in the blessings of financial. We want to live in the blessings of God. As we surrender today, speak to us. And Lord, if we're standing out there and we say, I just don't know how to do this, find somebody to follow. Find somebody that's been there. Find somebody that will mentor you and love you and pray for you and teach you. the ways of God, because we're better together than we are by ourselves. And we say thank you for Cole and Marley. Bless their marriage. Bless their marriage. Bless their marriage. Bless their children. Let the anointing of God be upon Hayes and Holden at a young age and raise them up to be mighty men that would be husbands, that would be fathers, that would be leaders, that would drive back the darkness in this world. And we thank you that what you do in one person's life, you'll do in everyone's life, because you're no respecter of persons. Lord, I pray for the parents in this room, that parents would continue to lead and teach and train their children according to the Word of God. For the parents that are growing weary, who maybe have children living in the pig pen, Lord, let parents just keep being strong. Let parents just keep digging into the Lord. Let parents be an example to their children. I pray for the single folks in this room, Lord, the young people that want to be married someday. Let them seek you now. Let them seek you now. Let them draw close to you and you draw close to them. And raise them up to be good spouses. Lord, we love you. And we know you are a trustworthy God. So help us surrender. Holy Spirit, speak. Let us be willing to say yes, sir, to whatever you would say to us today. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's close with worship.